A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome on in. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Hope you had a great 4th of July weekend. We're back at it right here at KSL News Radio, KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, former NFL quarterback, former University of Utah great, and we've got a lot of stuff to talk about today. We're going to get to Patrick Mahomes' massive contract that when I mentioned the terms to Scott when he got to the office today, his mouth dropped. And I said, and it was, even for a guy who was used to hearing big contract after big contract, this big contract affected Scott. So we'll talk about that. I want to know if he's even happy for the guy. We'll get to that as well. But first, we're going to kick things off with a little bit of a Jazz discussion here. And whether or not, look, the Jazz are taking off tomorrow to go to Orlando. So we'll start right there. We'll see where the team's
at. I
want
to go with them.
You want to go to the bubble?
Yeah.
See what it's all about?
I lived in Orlando. I like Orlando.
Oh, you could show them a thing or
yeah,
two.
I could.
If they leave the complex, if they're found leaving the complex, they have to quarantine for 10 days. Do you imagine getting caught? It's like the worst Boy Scout camp ever. All right, so that's where we're going to start. It's the 805 Cut right here in KSL's Unrivaled.
The Cut at 805. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Media availability for the Jazz brought a lot of questions to Rudy and Donovan and all the team. And interestingly enough, I think everybody wants to know where the team's at chemistry-wise. You know, when we last left the Jazz on March 11th, we had Rudy Gobert testing positive for COVID-19, and then finding out a little bit more about the relationship between he and Donovan, all those things kind of panned out. Donovan Mitchell addressed that in a question and answer session and a Zoom call about their relationship and kind of about that whole process and being quarantined and his attitude about the whole thing and his relationship with Rudy.
No secret, Tim, that I wasn't happy at the beginning. This, I've said that publicly. There's no secret to that. So for me, it was like, I'm not going to continue addressing something that I, one, didn't feel was true. You know, obviously we had the article, you know, and everyone saw that. And I just, to be honest with you, and no disrespect to you guys, but it's like, I'm not trying to give things clicks that, you know, just to have a story, you know, and then I kind of go back and then it brings more like, you know what, we know what it is internally as a team. And that should be it, you know. And I think like that's part of what Eric asked that question, part of that maturity and growing up, because I could have easily went back and forth with whoever on Twitter and kind of addressed it. But I'm just like, you know what, like, there's no need for that. My teammates and my coaches know how I feel. And I feel like that was a moment where I was just like, you know what, that's it. And I'm leaving it at that.
Every team has this internal conflict. It's yeah. I mean, and it can be over, you know, this guy sat in my seat or this guy drank my
right.
drink.
I was supposed to have that locker.
Yeah, I mean, it's just all kinds of stuff. And so, and it's that there just hasn't been a lot going on that this has happened. But I think this question you brought up about chemistry and really what team is going to have the best chemistry is going to be the team that wins this championship. I don't necessarily think it's going to be the best team around. And I think it's dealing with, you know, we've been cooped up for so long, right? And you're seeing a lot of people acting out. Even the media. Oh, they're making a big deal about Donovan and Rudy.
We got nothing else to talk about.
Because we got nothing else, you know. And so everybody's going stir crazy. And you look, I even think some of these social things that are happening, a lot of these protests, a lot of these, all this stuff, I think, I don't know that it maybe would have gotten to the fever that it has because we've been cooped up. when you mentioned March 11th, we were on our show, and yeah. I'm like, March 11th was like a lifetime ago. Day. It was so strange, and so I think that this whole being cooped up is going to impact teams in a funny way. And I'm not sure the best team is going to win. And I don't know where the Jazz are, because I look at, maybe this is something that that helps Rudy and Donovan get along better. Maybe it's like they aired their laundry, and it's like, we're just so sick of talking about this. We just want to get on the court and play. And then you have a guy like Mike Conley, who kind of had he was just an up and down. There wasn't the consistency. He's a guy that has a lot of pride in his game. Maybe he comes back different. Maybe the fact that Boyan isn't here and some of these other guys are like, I'm going to get time. I don't care if it's in Mickey Mouse's gym in Disney World. I'm going to get more time in an NBA game with a chance to win a championship.
Let me ask you this. The rust factor. Everybody talks about how rusty they're going to be and blah, blah, blah. But you always talk about camp and mini camp and preseason games. Like, they're just what a waste of time. Just like you're ready to – almost this idea of that these guys show up and they're going to be ready to play still because, one, they're young, and, two, they were still shooting in the offseason. And even if people want to go, well, Joe Ingles didn't even have a hoop at his house until, a month in or whatever. How much of it is a rust factor? Like, is that really a factor for these guys when they return back to this?
I think sometimes it is, and I think a lot of times it isn't. There's something about just resetting. There's something – you do this – They've shot basketballs. They've played for hours, thousands of hours in an off season. I mean, the number of shots that these guys make and take in an off season. So the ability to do this is there. It never leaves you. But having a fresh mind, or having a mind where I've been cooped up, I haven't thought about basketball, and it's just. It's so refreshing to get out and play. You kind of forget everything, and you're just like, man, this just, it's like getting a brand new car, and you're just the smell of the interior, this is just amazing. I love this. It just so feels so good, and I think that's the way it is with a lot. I can't say all of them, but I can only imagine that just having the opportunity to get on a court, sweat, shoot, be around the guys, play games, play competitive games. These guys will get into it quickly.
I wonder. I'm anxious to see how it does happen and how they do actually kind of get along. And we're obviously going to start getting video in the next few weeks of these guys practicing. I saw a shot of like these teams' practice courts inside these ballrooms. I mean, imagine it was
ballrooms
at the hotels. Their
practice courts are in the ballrooms.
Well, there's these massive ballrooms that can hold like five teams, and they're full, and the team's courts are on there. So you have like the Pacers court, the Heat court,
with the logos
and everything. It's like they ship the courts in, and you have them, and they have them widthwise across this ballroom, and they can fit four of them in this one ballroom. And you're going, these teams are practicing there under this, in this giant room, essentially in this massive arena, that's carpeted. And
oh, so it's church ball.
carpeted. It's the logos aren't stitched into the carpet.
Have you ever played?
On carpet? Yeah. That was when I was a kid growing up. That was the. Yeah,
you don't slip at all. Well, you can cut on a dime. Man, you can. You are.
I just love how those are. I love how there was like a free throw. There's a key printed into the the carpet.
Yeah.
Boy, many a rug burn and dodgeball on those Wednesday nights. Let's listen to what Rudy Gobert had to say. One of the things that came out during all this is that Ben Anderson has come on with us and said, hey, the reality is, as Jazz fans, you have to imagine a future without one of these guys. And Rudy Gobert is one of these guys who is going to merit a massive contract. And we just don't know if that's something that, if you're a Jazz fan, you got to think about the possibility of him not being around, because you don't think the Jazz, I don't know if the Jazz want to pay that supermax money to the guy. And you can't have Rudy and Donovan here, I don't think, if you're going to actually make a run. Here's what Rudy had to say about being here in Utah and wanting to stay in Utah.
I don't plan on leaving right now. I plan on winning a championship in Utah. And of course, things evolve, things change. But as of today, I don't even think about the extension or the money. I just think about, being healthy first, mentally, physically, and just go out there and try to win.
Two things. Every player cares about the money. And when they say they don't care about the money,
they already
they
have
care,
it.
They care about the money. They know about the money.
Right.
They're not. So when you go
to negotiate, you just say, "I don't care. Make it a dollar. I'll play for you guys for free." Sure.
It's all that was
because for these guys, a lot of times the money being paid that money is the indicator that they've arrived, that they're good, that they're good enough, that they're an all-star level. They want to get paid all-star level to feel like they're an all-star, you know. And all those things come into effect, and so.
I want to talk more about this.
Okay, we'll come back.
Rudy said,
and I'm fascinated with the money stuff too. We'll bring you what Patrick Mahomes is going to end up getting.
I just like how Rudy says Utah.
We'll come back. More to go right here. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Welcome back from your 4th of July weekend. We'll be right back. More to go right here on KSL News Radio. All right, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell across from me, former NFL quarterback, former University of Utah great, and like myself, a lover of the movie Fletch.
Yes.
Which is why we have this theme music that always pops up. I gave my Fletch LA Lakers jersey to Mitch Harper. Because I had like a real Fletch jersey.
Why'd you give it to him?
Well, because he's a massive Lakers fan.
Yeah,
and
but the
payoff
Fletch
was not. I know, but the payoff wasn't. Scott, I'm telling you,
why didn't I get the Fletch jersey?
Because you are like me.
I take you fishing and I take your kids fishing.
But you're like me. You really wouldn't ever put the jersey on because it says Lakers on the front. And no, it doesn't pay off enough. I'm telling you right now, as a person who's owned that jersey,
you know.
People go,
get rid of it.
Yes, because you got a Lakers jersey on and people look at it and none of them, they see the number 99 on the back.
You sold me. I'm good.
I know. I'm just telling you.
I believe you.
I'm just telling you how sad I was. That so few people got it. Yeah. There was the 99 in the back
and
Fletch.
They just didn't get
And they were like, who was he?
They just couldn't
And I
get
say,
over
it's
the
Irwin M. Fletcher. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Babar, is that with two B's?
Just relax, Mr. Babar. Let me see here.
Okay, I have to explain this to you.
So, yeah, tell me what the crazy hot matrix is.
Oh, it changed my life.
I'm Googling
it
right now.
Life forever.
So, what?
Okay, so basically, it's a guideline for how to, I guess, should we say date or kind of assess, you know, someone, a female.
Or so, male or whomever. Or, yeah. Yes.
No, because there's a totally different one for females.
Okay, so you have on the y-axis you have
crazy.
Right, and on the hot axis you have hot.
Right.
I mean, you have 0 to 10, and you have a 4 to 10.
Yeah, because basically women's, there's no woman that's less than a 4 on the crazy, and they'll agree with you on this. So this isn't a sexist.
You start to make compromises because you go, "Wow, she's really good looking," or this works for athletes if they're super talented.
Yeah,
they're the odds of them being extremely batty, you know, just like hard to be around, emotionally unstable.
So
blah,
you take
blah,
a
blah.
Guy like Dennis Rodman, like he's a 10 on
insane
the crazy.
Talent. Yeah. And on the yes.
But he's an amazing talent. So he's someone you go, we can tolerate.
I'm looking at it right now.
We can
He'd be the danger zone guy though.
Well, yeah,
because he's so talented. He's on that edge. He's on that edge.
Right.
He's so talented, but also he's got enough crazy in him that you're like, I don't know if this is worth it.
Yeah, so you let him go on his little mini vacations to Las Vegas.
Right.
You let him do his thing.
Sure.
And you get your 10 rebounds out of him a night. And then you let him annoy people on the court. And so just understanding where this all fits. But the thing that was kind of funny to me was the one about where you have someone who's kind of in that 8 range of
hot.
And they're like a 4 on the crazy.
Yeah.
They're called a unicorn.
Right. That's the unicorn zone.
Yeah. The unicorn zone. And that's a fairy tale.
Right.
Okay?
They almost don't exist.
It doesn't exist. And if you find
one. We've heard of them, but we've never actually. Right. There's tale of them.
If you find one, capture it.
Okay.
Okay. Anyways, found this out. Fascinating.
It's the same thing for athletes.
Right.
I mean, because what's his name? Who were we just talking about? Cam Newton. His outfits are a 10 on the nutty scale.
They're
alone.
On the crazy scale.
But he's
and
also pretty.
He's slipping on the hotness.
Okay,
side.
I get it.
See what I'm saying?
Yes, he's not as hot of a player.
Right. It's like, hey, you want to dress the way you dress? You know, you throw 35 touchdowns a year, you go for it. But the minute you don't.
Yeah, then we're going, what are we doing with this guy with a feather
out.
In his hat?
You
yeah,
are
yeah, yeah, yeah. The 2-minute drill goes something like this. Scott, explain to the people what we do with the two.
All right,
drill.
At the end of the show, we got to hurry because we don't have a lot of time, and we got to win the show. Just like in the 2-minute drill, you got to hurry at the end of a game. So we have a lot we want to talk about, and we don't have a lot of time. So we talk a little bit about a lot of things, and we win the show and win the day.
Scott, one of your favorite writers of all time, Peter King, was trending over the weekend on Twitter, and it's because he made a comment about the hot dog eating contest, and he talked about how ridiculous it was that they're showing it. So ESPN, as it does every year, showed the hot dog contest, but this year it was funny because there were no people watching, or there was no crowd, obviously. So they had to do it like a lot of other sporting events. No crowd. And Joey Chestnut won his 13th. And during the competition, ESPN flashed up a graphic. And it was like most single events won by a competitor. And Joey Chestnut had passed he was on the scale of like these Rafael Nadal was like winning next, like with like the 12 French Opens, you know.
Right, yeah.
And then and it just goes on, and so you have this like amazing list of athletes, but Joey Chestnut had surpassed all these athletes. And they showed him, and he's got hot dog bits on his face, and he's like got his gut sticking out. Peter King said something about how vile it was, and someone goes, "You know, you have a remote, you don't have to watch it." And he said, never have, never will. Not the point. The fact is, ESPN celebrates the birthday of our country by airing a gluttonous, vomitous, grotesque event. Eating is not a sport. Competitive eating is a sin.
Here's the thing.
Greg Rubel jumped on, too. And he said the same thing. He goes, somebody approved of this. And he said the same thing, that it was disgusting and it was vile. And that this, you know, showing this type of thing is a sin on TV. And I thought, all right, look, I'm not a massive fan of the hot dog eating contest.
Do you know why you watch it?
It's so stupid. Because you're watching it ironically a little bit.
Like, I could never do that.
And you watch it and you kind of go, this is weird.
Like, I get sick. It's like, how does this skinny little dude eat 78 hot dogs? You're just like, and so we're fascinated with this. But on top of it, we live in a country, whether we like it or not, that allows people to say, you know what, if I want to go out and eat 78 hot dogs, I can, because I've been to countries where the people can't hardly find food, or they get something on occasion, like a weekly ration, and they stand in line and they wait for things forever. And to have the ability to go out and be able to, you know, I want to eat 78 hot dogs, I can, because I live in America.
Right.
And on the other side of it, Stephen King can complain, or Stephen King.
Peter King.
I don't even like Peter King. And talk about gluttony. I've sat in a hotel room with Peter King and watched him eat about 12 different appetizers that he ordered.
Yeah, but it wasn't televised.
Right.
That was the point, right?
So his whole gluttonous act is done in private where no one can see it, but he's still doing it. That's when anyways.
I don't know. I've never taken the hot dog eating contest seriously.
No.
And that's the thing, is that I will just say
it's
this.
It's just some fun.
I love sports, but sports are
what
not
about
the
a pie eating contest?
Well,
what
but I love sports, but sports is not something I look at too and go, you know what? These were created for us to be able to progress as human beings on this planet. You know, I don't look at it as a sport. It's a sport. Well, and competitive eating, I don't look at it as a sport either.
No.
I roll my eyes at it because it's ironically a quote-unquote sport.
Some of those eating challenges, athletes, though, Alex, I'd like to try.
No, they're insane.
Well, I'd like to try some.
I would not.
None of them?
No.
Would you like to eat like the 72-ounce steak? Come on.
I've been to that place.
Or the big burrito or something?
We tried it. We tried going through that steak place. It's not good. It was not good. It was weird.
Was it good, though?
No, the meat was not that great.
Oh, it wasn't that good. Yeah, bad 72-ounce steak, that's hard to eat.
I'm just saying. Look, go easy on the hot dog eating contest. You know, stop acting all pious. Stop acting like your morality should be everybody else's morality. You know, that's what makes this country great, is that we look and we go, hey, we're a bunch of different people, and we can, like, sort of live and let live and thumbs up. Look, I don't think Joey Chestnut, I don't think my kids are looking at that and going, I want to be a competitive hot dog eater when I grow up, Dad. That's what I want to do. They look at it and they know, too, that's gross, that's weird, and it's kind of funny that this is on TV.
But they're it's weird. You know, some of the traditional things we did were the pie eating contest, and some of those things are part of the tradition.
Those were invented by pioneers, man.
It's a fun thing to do. Come on.
All right. For Scott Mitchell, I'm Alex Keery. Thanks for being with us. We'll be back again tomorrow with another edition of KSL's Unrivaled. Until then, Scott, did you have fun today?
It was a hot, crazy mess today.
And that's why we like it. For Scott, I'm Alex. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody.
KSL's Unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
I got to tell you a story.
What's up?
On occasion,
yeah.
I've been known to go back. There's this thing called YouTube, which is amazing.
Oh, no.
And YouTube has
everything. Did you go back in the archive?
It has everything on it. Like, it probably has the day I was, like, my birth, right? It's probably, there's some video out there of when I... So I go back on occasion.
You didn't go watch one of your old games, did you?
Oh, yes, I did.
Scott, I'm like Doc Brown in Back to the Future. I'm like, Morty, you can't go back and look at all these things. It affects the show for negative.
It does.
So, Scott, I told you not to watch your old games. Was this one of those where you're wallow in your misery, you throw a pick six, and you get sad?
This is a good one. So it's when I was playing for the Miami Dolphins, and I just started playing. And I have The announcers, Dick Emberg and Bob Trumpy, are
right.
Going, look at the smile on that young man's
look
face.
Look at Scott Mitchell, the big left-hander out of Utah. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And we just killed the Kansas City Chiefs, right? And it was just so much fun.
So you see Patrick Mahomes' contract get signed, you go, I'm going to watch me playing Joe Montana and the Chiefs. Because that was the year you played him, right?
Right. I mean, it's Joe Montana. You know, he's like considered one of the best of all time.
Right.
And you have Neil Smith and Derek Thomas. They had a really good football team. But my point about this is, at that moment, there was nobody hotter in the NFL than the Miami Dolphins and me. No one.
Right.
We were playing so good.
But that's how you got paid.
It was so much fun. Right. It was how I got paid. But the thing that's – players have to strike while the iron's hot. Because your fortune can change in a dime. And it doesn't have anything to do with you, whether you can play or you can't play, but circumstances change.
It's about how hot you are
quickly.
Right then.
Yes.
And Patrick Mahomes, like, if he doesn't, because you said, look, he's going to be worth more than this in 10 years or not.
Right.
Like, that's the thing is that's what you have to weigh out if you're Patrick Mahomes.
And they'll structure the contract to reflect that. He'll get so much guaranteed money up front, and they'll evaluate it. So he'll go through these next 2 years, and they'll probably go through – you know, 3 or 4 years on the contract, and then they'll look at it and go, we probably need to
because he has
2 years left now, and they've already renegotiated, and that's how they do it. Or they get rid of you.
Well, once the guaranteed money's up, and correct me if I'm wrong, but once the guaranteed money's up, it's a one-way contract. It's the NFL team's in control after that. Well, then it's about them making a deal with you or not, cutting you loose or them having to determine whether or not you're worth them keeping because or you're worth – you know, them kind of keeping you around. So
it's about budgeting,
too,
where the team goes, we're going to give you guaranteed money that we can spread over the life of the contract, which gives us more money to sign other players. So you give up a little bit of money down the road, per se, but you're getting it today. And players go, yeah, give me all the money today.
Right, sure.
Unless you're Bobby Bonilla, and then you say, give me $1 million for the next 30
for the
years.
Next 35 years.
Could imagine what they'd have to give Patrick Mahomes
to get him
to give him his $400 million over the next 30 years?
That would be, it'd have to be $600 million, and they'd have to do it over to do it 30 years. And he'd get $5 million a year for the next 40 years.
40 years.
To be able to make that work. All right. I want to bring this up, and it's what was said today. Dominic Foxworth on ESPN had this to say, because it wasn't just about whether or not Patrick Mahomes deserves the money. It turned into this conversation about if he's the greatest of all time. It's a little bit early for that, but that's he's good enough that they're having that conversation
already. We already know that Patrick Mahomes' best is better than Tom Brady's best. Patrick Mahomes' mediocre is better than Tom Brady's mediocre. Patrick Mahomes' worst, we haven't seen it yet. He's never played a bad game in 2 seasons of football. I don't understand how you can look at the skills that he shows on the field and project in a draft scenario that you'd rather have the guy who has been less consistent and less outstanding throughout this process. Like, I understand all the things that he's accomplished, but in a raw ability standpoint, it's impossible not to pick Patrick Mahomes, the best quarterback we've ever seen in the most important position.
Dan Marino, you'll ask any quarterback who's played.
Yeah.
Probably the best thrower of the football.
And they, like,
when
they
you
all
talk about raw skill, what
yeah.
is his – Yeah, and there's a quote from Brett Favre, which I actually agree with him. He goes, Dan Marino, skill-wise, is the best quarterback, and if anyone doesn't agree with you, they're lying. So throwing a football and the raw skill, and it's true. He was exceptional. Unbelievable. So good. But it's not, you know, if you're looking at the best player of all time, you can't. Do you know how hard it is to win a Super Bowl?
Yeah.
And how many people don't?
And he's done it already.
And not only has he won six, he's been to what, nine?
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, nine Super Bowls.
You're talking about Tom Brady.
Yes.
Well, so but
and to say that, look,
that Patrick Mahomes is already better than he is.
Skill wise, no question. Patrick Mahomes throwing a football and what he can do, his running ability, his athletic ability. Yes.
What's your gut tell you on how this guy's career is going to pan out? Is he going to keep being a dominant force, or is this one of those guys? Because we also have a little, you know, we can study a former MVP, guy who took his team to the Super Bowl, was worth a lot of money, and then totally fizzled out, and is getting the bare minimum salary with some incentives attached. Cam Newton, he was this guy.
First player in the draft.
I mean, he was the guy that everybody wanted, and he was the 2015, this isn't even that long ago, 2015 MVP, and took his team to the Super Bowl that year, and we sort of treat him a little bit like Johnny Manziel, like, is he washed up? Like, you're going,
do you know why Tom Brady's lasted so long?
Why?
He's not a dual-threat quarterback.
So the dual-threat guys are actually not the future of the NFL.
The dual-threat quarterback is a running back who can throw. And running backs don't last a long time in the NFL. And Cam Newton is a great example of this. And he's a talent.
But Patrick Mahomes can run the ball, too, though.
But he doesn't. Patrick Mahomes does not run.
Russell Wilson does in smart situations.
I know. They're not dual threat quarterbacks. They are quarterbacks that drop. That's why these guys, Patrick Mahomes has an instinct. He has, it's not like a lot of these dual threat guys are running like because they don't know what they're doing.
I hope Taysom Hill's listening. I hope Taysom Hill's listening. And you go, hey man, you got to be a quarterback first.
Steve Young will never be in the Hall of Fame if he was a dual threat quarterback. He stopped running. And when you get a guy, Patrick Mahomes, he just has an uncanny ability to know when. It's to know when to run. And he's not a guy that's like, okay, you know, we feel in our offense that about 30% of our offense needs to be Patrick Mahomes running. And that's a dumb thing to do.
Yeah.
It's BS. You want your quarterback to be around for the next play, the next season, and the next 10 seasons. And Cam Newton is a great example of, you know, he's hurt, and it makes people leery. But it's because he's had this, you know, I'm going to be Superman and I'm going to run and I'm going to last forever. And I'm telling you, those guys in the NFL, even the way they don't let them hit people, they still hit you hard.
This is a guy that
just takes its toll on you.
This is physically the most intimidating-looking quarterback I've ever seen in NFL history, Cam Newton.
Yeah.
6'5", 245, and runs like the wind, right? And is quick and has a gun for an arm. So there's this thing about if he sells out and develops just as a pure quarterback and only uses the running in emergency situations, then that's the best version of him. By the way, that's the best version of him in the New England offense. I mean,
well,
if it's
that's
work.
What's going to be fascinating to watch is can Cam Newton become more like Tom Brady?
Cam Newton this weekend.
And it may save his career.
Cam Newton this weekend said, I'm tired of being humble. He's kind of like, I'm moving on from this. I'm going to start dominating. I'm going to take over. Number one, it's hard for me to believe that he was ever humble. There's that. Okay? And then the second, wearing those outfits, you are not humble ever. Okay?
It's like, what's your definition of humble? Like,
but do you hear that and think to yourself, oh, I'm excited to see this new version of what Cam Newton's going to be. I think it's kind of intriguing because they're going to have to kind of go, hey man, the new Cam Newton is not going to be what you were doing in Carolina for your career, or at Auburn.
Have you ever heard of the hot, crazy matrix?
No.
Oh.
Should we talk about it in the two-minute drill?
I learned about it over the weekend.
Okay, the hot crazy matrix?
Or crazy hot matrix, either okay. way.
Scott will give us some
just
of his
whole humble Cam Newton.
Ethan's going to teach. Scott's going to teach us something about the internet and the internet age. He's kind of a tech. He's kind of a tech savvy guy. We're going to come right back. More to go. 2 minute drills next. We'll wrap things up right here. Stay with us. It's KSL News Radio. All right, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery and Scott Mitchell. It's hard coming back from vacation. Well, it's not vacation, but a couple days off. It's hard coming back. Not that I don't like you. I'm just saying I was looking forward to coming back, and then you get here and you're kind of like, man, it would be nice to just
We'll take a vacation then.
All right, fine.
Just go and take a vacation.
Let's do it. All right.
Here's the thing. Can I just talk about Rudy for one second?
Yeah, we just listened to Rudy Gobert talk about how he wants how he loves Utah, he wants to be here. And this is in the Jazz are leaving tomorrow for Orlando. So he made those comments. Look, maybe this is when he wins his little mini championship. I'm not going to call it a full championship. If they win this championship, it's a mini championship.
I think if you look at how teams win championships, they kind of have that 1-2 punch, and then there's a number three. You know, like, you just look at, there was Kawhi Leonard and someone else in Toronto. That didn't really fit. But there's, like, there's Shaq and Kobe. There's MJ and what's his name?
Scottie Pippen. Yeah.
But then there's a third guy, right? And so when you look at a guy like Gobert, and you want kind of that 1-2 thing, Stockton, Malone.
Yeah.
Rudy and
Donovan.
It doesn't work.
You kind of don't really look at it the same way.
Because
right?
there's really what it is, and everyone talks about the impact he has defensively in a game, but he doesn't really have enough, you know, if Rudy Gobert is that impact player defensively, they still need a number two. So the Jazz need Donovan Mitchell and someone.
Right.
And then Rudy Gobert is like the Dennis Rodman. He's that guy that...
So you see him being more of a third guy.
Right.
Oh, that's wild.
No, but that's the problem, is that he, you know, and where does he fit in today's NBA where he's just going to make that, you know, and I like Rudy Gobert and I like the game that he plays, but... When it comes time for him to get paid like that, I don't know, and I really do agree with Ben Anderson on this. I don't know how the Jazz fit him into things, and you know, if you're just looking at this on how to build a championship team, you know, you got to go, well, you need another guy plus Donovan, and then Gobert's number three.
Hmm.
And
that's interesting.
And is Boyan that guy?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's because he hasn't been here long enough, but I don't really look at him as being that guy either right now.
Right.
You don't feel like he's really committed.
Well, it's the defense.
Right.
You know, when you have Steph Curry and you have Kevin Durant, that's a 1-2, and then you add all those number three, you know, is Klay Thompson.
You know, sure. Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and
then you have Draymond Green and I mean, you have.
Well, they had like four and five guys.
They
that
did,
like, wow.
But you'll find those four and five guy that you can find those guys, and they're gonna play better. They're gonna be better because of the of kind of that.
Here's the real problem of why Rudy Gobert wouldn't thrive in that situation. He's got to be 1A or 1B. But in his mind.
Right.
He has such a grudge, and he has such a chip on his shoulder. And the thing is that he's going to get paid some insane amount of money. The Jazz will have to pay him the most insane amount of money if they're going to
want
to keep
him. If they want him
around. We're talking about $50 million a year. I mean, I think Ben Anderson shook it out for us the last year of his contract. If they were to sign that Supermax at the end of next year, at the end of his contract, he'd be making $62 million a year for the Jazz. That's insane. That is crazy to think of that kind of money. And here's the question. Is Rudy Gobert worth $62 million a year? Let's say he gets Defensive Player of the Year all those different years. I'm not that interested in $62 million a year for that.
No.
I think Jazz fans wouldn't be either.
That's my whole point. Right. I get it.
Man, speaking of money, your guy, Patrick Mahomes, Has been awarded the richest contract, apparently, according to sources, in league history. An extension on his deal. He's got two more years left on his rookie deal. He stands to make another $26 million over the next two seasons. And then he's going to ramp it up a bit, and the extension is going to be worth 10 extra years, 40, or no, excuse me, that would have been insane. Why would it only be 40? $400 million, 10 years, $400 million, to the tune of 40-ish million a year. And we don't know the exact dollar amount in
guaranteed money.
That's something that we still haven't seen yet. So I want your reaction, because I told you that. I go, hey, he got that new contract. And you were like, how much? And I said, $400 million. And you, in a very rare moment, had your mouth agape going, wow. Is it that shocking that the most exciting player in the NBA or in the NFL and really now Super Bowl champion and league MVP over the last two seasons of him playing in the league, does he not deserve that $40 million a year?
Here's the good side about this. The good side is it's really about maximizing getting paid in any league in the NFL is timing. Here's a guy that everyone thinks is really probably the top quarterback, maybe the top player in the NFL right now.
Yeah.
He just wins the Super Bowl. He plays a significant role in the playoff run and the Super Bowl. I mean, you've got Kansas City, rabid fan base, and they just can't seem to get out of their way. For years they've had all these teams, and he's the one guy. He really is the one guy that took them to the next level, and he really did.
All right, think about how insane smart Andy Reid is, too. When he said, Alex Smith, you're a serviceable quarterback. You win games for us. You've taken us to the playoffs.
And it was a scary move.
And he said, but you know what? I've watched this cat in practice, and he's the future.
Yeah.
To the tune of 10 years, $400 million. What a gamble.
So the good news is the timing, Alex.
Right.
Good news is the timing.
What's the bad news on this?
The bad news is the time. Okay, so he.
So he gets paid.
So he's locked in for 12 years.
Yep.
And he's 4 years in or 3 years. I mean, this is like the end of his career.
This is through 2031. They showed the terms of the deal and they said this is through 2031.
Right. I'll be retired. Right. 12 years, maybe.
Right.
I mean, I could be retired.
Is that what they're saying, though?
No, I'm saying
you're
me.
Saying you will from
I'm
this
saying,
job.
I'm saying that my point
that's
is
that's how far away that is.
That's how far down the road it is, and everyone goes, "This is insane. This is insane."
Every contract that's made, it's the richest American sports deal ever made.
Alex, when I signed a contract some 30 years ago, and people were just up in arms.
Yeah,
this is insane. How can you pay a guy that much money?
Why does an athlete get this much money? Right. Yeah, yeah.
And everyone's saying that today. Everyone is saying that, myself included, because this is insane.
That's a crazy amount of money.
$400 million. It's almost a billion. It's almost a half a billion dollars. I mean, it's just crazy to hear that
Plus,
number.
He's got all these endorsement deals with the ketchup companies.
For a football player. Okay? But the problem with it is he's probably, at the end of it, going to be underpaid.
Interesting.
Because he set the bar today.
Right.
And so think of
and
10,
we kind of say that about
think of 10
Tom
years,
Brady
think
right
of
now. 10,
right. Like some of the better players they get screwed over in the contract
they
stuff
got done
because
early.
Well because they're so good and they get a contract extension and then they lock them in long term. It's really smart for the Kansas City Chiefs to do this long term because
but at some point you're going to have a 10 or 12 year deal worth $1 billion.
Right, you can have a guy making $60 million a year in 5 years.
Yeah.
And Patrick Mahomes is going to go,
I'm better than him.
I've now won two or three Super Bowls. I'm the best player in the league, and I'm underpaid
and
by $20 million
right.
a year.
I'm only the sixth highest paid quarterback,
and it'll happen soon. And so it's awesome. The time, I mean, he deserves it, and he got it because of how he played, and he certainly deserves it. But in a few years. He's gonna be mad about it, which sounds crazy, but it's true.
I don't know if he's gonna be mad about it. It doesn't seem like his
These athletes,
vibe.
They're spoiled.
If it was Rudy Gobert, then yes,
they're
for
all,
sure.
They're all gonna be
all right,
mad
let's,
about
it. Let's take the break. I've got this piece of sound from ESPN that I want you to hear. It's about, instead of just having the conversation about Patrick Mahomes getting paid right now, they start to talk about if he's the greatest of all time and if he even deserves this. What do you mean if he deserves it? That's what they're paying him, so he deserves it. Stay with us. More to go. KSL's Unrivaled continues.
Hey. It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.